This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink.
If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And rivers, rivers and rivers, rivers and rivers will flow.
And whosoever will may come and drink freely. And whosoever will may come and drink freely. And never, no, never, never, no, never, never, no, never thirst again.
Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden.
Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you all my rest.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And rivers, rivers and rivers, rivers and rivers will flow.
That opening hymn there was If Any Man Thirsts, written and sung by Ron Bedford. Our Bible reading today is a very simple one, taken from Mark's Gospel chapter 1. Jesus has begun preaching the good news of the kingdom following the death of John the Baptist, and he sets off walking by the Sea of Galilee, and there he calls his first disciples. They each had many qualifications, 9 GCSE A-levels, star. They had already taken advanced A-levels and gone on to IB diploma programmes. 2 had master degrees, MA and PhD. He first spotted them sitting there on the beach, deep in debate on the merits of divine action in the human mind and theology without metaphysics. And so he said to them, "You are destined for greatness. Get out there into the world for me." You know, I don't think that's what it does say in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Let me just read it out and let's get it right. Here it is. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in a boat with the hired men and followed him. There you are, I was wrong. Those first disciples were fishermen. They were very ordinary people, men of the elements, men of the sea, the wind and the wave, whose lives hung in the balance each time they left shore, men who had to keep watch, men of rhythm and routine, who already lived life on the edge. A lovely description of fishermen there that I read from somewhere once. They were carrying out ordinary everyday jobs. They were casting their fishing nets and mending them. And according to Mark, Jesus wasn't about to send these fishermen out into the world there and then, expecting them to journey into dangerous situations without him. He was actually going to lead the way and be with them, and would always be with them on their journey from then on. No, he said to them quite simply, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Jesus kept things simple. Give me Jesus anytime. Here's a song by Lindsay Kirkland that says just that. Give me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus.
Disciples were now going to be taught a different way to fish, to catch the souls of men, women and children up into God's loving care. The reading this morning is a very challenging one for us today. It tells us that we as ordinary people ourselves, caught up in all of our daily routines, can achieve something great for God if we're willing to listen and follow Jesus and act upon his words. When we do, we are gifted beyond measure and perfectly suited to God's plan for us and for those whose lives we'll touch. And he will use our strengths, even our weaknesses, and draw from our own experiences to get the job that he has for us done. Jesus never did promise his followers a life of ease or comfort, nor did he promise them long life or pain-free days. But he did say he would be with them always in whatever they did, wherever they went, and in whatever circumstances they found themselves in. Here's Catherine Crossweller singing a beautiful song called I Will Be With You.
I will be with you. Now
The disciples may well have heard about Jesus at that point in time, Andrew in particular, for Jesus had been pointed out to him by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. So he will have heard him preaching. The disciples, like any member of their community, would have been aware of the great Jewish hope that the Messiah would visit them in their own land. Ancient writings from the book of Isaiah had told them so, that one day God would honour Galilee by way of the sea beyond the Jordan, and that the people walking in darkness there would see a great light. Isaiah also spoke of one destined to become the lamb for the slaughter. So these disciples had to make their choice, to stay where it was comfortable and familiar, or to follow Jesus, knowing their lives would never be the same again. But it says here they followed him without delay and became Jesus' closest friends and his most devoted disciples, fellow travellers on his great journey, where they would come to know Jesus' heart for the world and learn from his wisdom. Here's a song called Here I Am, Lord, a very popular hymn in churches these days, and it's sung by John Michael Talbot.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my home. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. My life to them, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in my
today's reading takes me back to a time when my husband Bob and I were on our first and only exotic holiday in the Maldives following our retirement. We really enjoyed snorkeling on the coral reef there in the sunshine and were amazed to find such a wonderful variety of fish beneath the surface of the water. And it was all so exciting. It was a brand new visual experience for both of us as fishes of all different colours and hues swam by. One morning, though, I became adventurous and decided to move on out from the reef into deep water. I remember gliding into a brand new world out into the blue beyond. I entered a totally different environment. At first, I was elated. It was all so surreal. And as I stretched and soared out into that blue beyond, my arms felt like wings. I had the strangest sensation that I was taking off from a cliff in slow motion, out into nothingness, wonderfully supported by the vast water beneath me. It was so freeing and so exhilarating. But the experience didn't last very long because all of a sudden I became aware that I'd left the warm, shallow waters behind me and I was entering a noiseless expanse where I suddenly felt a chill, a real chill on my skin. My entire body became cold, no safe reef below me, and the water looked extremely deep and I began to feel afraid. After all, what strange creatures were lurking there in the deep and in the shadows? I turned myself round and immediately headed straight back to where I felt safe and warm, on the reef nearer the shore, and where everything was familiar once more. It's not an easy thing to go out into the deep and face the unknown. It's so much easier to stay in the shallows where it's safe. Which of us wants to be foolish enough to go out there, where it's cold and challenging and dangerous? But fishermen have to do it. In today's world, it's all very well to want to stay where it's warm and safe and have a set routine in front of our television sets. We seem happy to allow social media to dominate our thinking, and we give permission for our offspring to be consumed by internet games on their Xboxes and TikTok. We can even work from home now rather than travel into work. So unfortunately, very little socialising is taking place off our screens. But are we really content to wallow in these shallow waters? And many have not yet returned to places of worship. We have alternatives, of course, in place by way of Zoom, streaming in real time, even songs of praise, with nothing demanded of our faith in action, no fellowship, no joy of sharing our belief with others. Yet I have to admit that many of these amenities have served their purpose well, and they certainly have been lifesavers in our isolation these last 18 months. But are we not called to more now, to seize each moment, taking hold of real life again? Here's a song I wrote for a children's holiday club once. It was a challenge to them to seize the day and do something important with their lives.
Seize the day. It will not come again. Don't waste time doing pointless things. Aim high. You can achieve your dream. Hold it tight. Don't let it fade away. Just have faith in what tomorrow brings. Aim high. You can achieve your dream. Set, go. Don't look back, for that was yesterday. Each new day brings opportunities. Aim high, you can achieve your dream.
Author John Ortberg once wrote, "There is a way that leads to stagnation, unrealised potential, unfulfilled longings. It leads to a sense that I'm not living my life, the one I was supposed to live. It leads to boredom and to sinful patterns of behaviour that never got confronted and changed. abilities and gifts that never got cultivated and deployed. Deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations you never had. And weeks become months, and months turn into years. And one day you're looking back on a life of great, bold prayers you never prayed. Exhilarating rides you never took. Sacrificial gifts you never gave. And lives you never ever touched. And you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams. And you realize there was a world of desperate need and a great God calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have become but didn't. You never followed your calling. Ortberg goes on to say, "Listen, people, please, whatever you do, don't be this person. God had a beautiful reason for making you. Don't waste your life waiting for the fear to go away. It never will. Seize the vision of what you could be, of what you could give, and go after it now. You don't just owe it to yourself. You owe it to us all."
Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets. No one is his neighbor. All alone he is. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am lonely too. Make me friend or stranger, fit to wait on you.
Time has come for us to be brave and adventurous again, but not foolish. Willing to venture out cautiously, where we may not feel safe, but where far bigger challenges await us like unknown monsters in the deep. Out there where the poor, the needy, the lonely, the grieving and the exile are already enveloped in very chilling waters indeed. To become fishers of people is to be willing to go out where the fish are, where the environment is cold and even dangerous. And in these increasingly secular times, the hostility is certainly out there, especially on matters of faith. It's all too easy to beat a hasty retreat to the shallows and be discouraged like I was as a swimmer in those deep waters of the Indian Ocean. Are we willing to journey with Jesus, follow his lead, and make his causes our own, like that hymn said? If we do step out in trust and become fishers of people, God will provide a solid base for us to stand on. He'll provide the boat and the tools of trade, the team he wants us to work with. And he will direct us to where to throw our nets, to catch people up in God's love and care. And as long as we're listening and on the move, he has promised that there'll be an abundant catch of fish of all kinds of colours and shapes and sizes. I'm going to play probably one of the most popular hymns of all time. It's one of my favourites, a final song by Hillsong. It's called Oceans, and it says, "You call me out onto the waters." This is Sheila Hamill. Our time is up now, and it's time to say goodbye. Thank you to Andrew Ridgwick for all his technical expertise. Andrew, can you say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail.
I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.